You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, let's see. Oh, right today, why, of course, we know that North Korea has now said that the state of hostilities, war between the United States and South Korea and North Korea has been resumed. They've called off the armistice. We never had a peace agreement with North Korea. And North Korea is threatening war against America and South Korea. People sort of scoff at that, but are we dealing with rational people? They have nuclear weapons. How do they get nuclear weapons? Why, we help them to get nuclear weapons. Why, we gave them material to build a nuclear power plant back in the 1990s. Why would we have done something that foolish? But then, of course, there's so many things going on today that just don't make sense. There's tremendous unrest, certainly in the Middle East and the Near East, as you know. We're doing everything we can to arm Egypt in preparation for the coming war. We're giving them 20 fighter jets, all sorts of tanks and ammunition and munitions and $250 billion. $250 million, $250 million. Why would we do that when they're under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood that is sworn to destroy America and Israel? Why would we be doing that? And then, of course, there's a very real possibility that Israel is going to have to attack Syria very soon because Syria has chemical weapons. Of course, they got them from Saddam Hussein, who got them from us back in the 1980s. But so much of what's going on today just doesn't make sense. Basically, of course, there's real social unrest in Saudi Arabia today. There's a very real chance that Jordan will fall. The government there will be overthrown. And certainly, whatever happens in Syria, why, the current regime will be replaced by probably the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, as you know, why, the American military occupying both Iraq and Afghanistan imposed new constitutions on both countries. Both countries' new constitutions establish Sharia law as the law of the land. Now, why would they be doing something like that? It really doesn't make sense. But as I say, there's so many things going on today that just don't make sense. Well, basically today was a historic day. Today, why they chose a new pope, and people really don't know too much about him. But I thought that we would get somebody, a Catholic, on who really has studied what's going on and has tremendous insight into the things we talk about, and that is the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. Because there has been drives going back for 4,000 or more years to create a one-world government. This is the foundation of American foreign policy, whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power. They want a world government. And the small subversive group that controls American government is using the financial and military power of the United States to install dictators throughout the world who go along with our goal, and that is a one-world government. Now, certainly if you go into the background of this new Muslim Brotherhood Islamic world, what is their goal? They want a one-world Islamic state. And then, of course, what about the Catholic Church? Well, there are people within the Catholic Church, certainly Pope Benedict had talked about, certainly the importance of having a world government. What about our new Pope? With us, William Kennedy. William, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It is a very historic day and a very chilling day for biblical prophecy. Now, if people go to my webpage, williamhkennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com, I have some breaking news. Tom Horn, who is the author of Petrus Romanus, which people can order at RadioLiberty.com, concurs with me that Pope Francis, our new Pope, fulfills St. Malachy's prophecy.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Kennedy, and William is pointing out a couple of things that you probably haven't heard about the new Pope. And number one is you're told that he's Argentinian. Well, basically, his parents were from Italy. They migrated or immigrated to Argentina. Pope Francis grew up speaking Italian in an Italian community in Argentina. Number two, Pope Francis is a Jesuit. And to be a Jesuit, you have to be a very smart person. You have to have not one, but two PhDs, one in theology and one in another field. And of course, Pope Francis has a PhD in chemistry. You don't get two PhDs unless you're very, very smart. But the purpose of the Jesuits, formed in the 1500s, was to be the soldiers of the Pope. And they were to unite the whole world behind the Catholic Church. Unfortunately, as time has gone by, they've become increasingly conspiratorial. They are certainly not every Jesuit is a conspirator, but I will tell you that Father Malachi Martin, who I had the opportunity of getting to know very well, was a Jesuit who left the order because, of course, their goal was to bring about this one world government. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a satanic goal. That is what Satan has been working on all the way, going all the way back to the time of Nimrod. And, of course, certainly the basis of American foreign policy is one world government. Both the Republicans and the Democrats are pushing pushing towards one world government. And certainly, well, that is why they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about the one world government. That's why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations. We're moving our troops into 35 additional nations in Africa. That's why we have 1,000 bases throughout the world. That's why we put out as much money for our military as almost all the other countries in the world to combine together. We have the most powerful military in the world, and we're using it to bring about a one-world government. And apparently the new pope is a Jesuit and dedicated, as was Pope Benedict, to this idea of a world government. Go right ahead, William.
Well, Dr. Stan, as I said, traditionally the Jesuits have had a tumultuous relationship with the Vatican. In the late 1700s, they were disbanded until 1814. They were allowed to survive in Russia because the Tsarina of Russia refused to accept what the Pope said. Now, they're incredibly controversial. Father Thomas Rees, the Jesuit editor of the magazine America, which is the Jesuit's voice in the United States, was just forced to resign for writing pro-homosexual articles and things like very provocative things, pro-abortion articles. So they are very New World Order. Now, he was forced out because he went very extreme, but then they made him a professor at the premier Jesuit training center, Woodstock it's called, in the United States. So they did this farce of firing Rees and then sending him to train a whole new generation of Jesuits. Now, it's frightening because what we're seeing in the church, the Cardinal Peter of Africa, who was in charge of the international transactions of the Vatican, said recently that we should have a single world bank. What he wanted to do was basically take the Bureau of International Settlements and give it more power and make it a single world bank wherein every transaction made, if you buy a candy bar at your corner store or a Saudi Arabian prince buys a Rolls Royce from England, there would be a tax to this central world bank, this expanded Bureau of International Settlements. So he wanted to catapult us into a single world economy. Now, one thing I must point out is that Pope Benedict, his last act as Pope was to make Saint Hildegard, a saint from the 1100s, a full doctor of the church and a full saint in the Roman Catholic Church. And she predicted back in the 1100s, this was before Tom Horn or Martin Luther or anyone, that if the Roman Catholic clergy did not mend his ways and stop abusing Mother Church, in other words, raping children and women, then Mother Church would spawn the Antichrist. Okay, so that the idea that the Roman Catholic Church will be in cahoots with the Antichrist is not a Protestant or evangelical idea.
And what you're saying, William, is the fact that Pope Benedict rose this woman, or actually made this woman certainly one of the highest sort of saints that you can have in the Catholic Church. There's only a handful of them. And he picked her and appointed her to this exalted position?
That was his last act as Pope. That was in October of 2012. And this was right before the liturgical season began for Christmas, when he would be busy with, different rituals. His last formal act as Pope was to make Saint Hildegard a doctor of the church and a full saint in the Roman Catholic Church. Some parts of the church accepted her as a saint, some did not. He did away with that. She is a full saint and a doctor of the church. There are only 33 doctors of the Roman Catholic Church historically. Two of them people have heard of, St. Augustine of Hippo and St. Thomas Aquinas, who are not only shapers of the Roman Catholic Church, they are also generators of a thing we call Western civilization.
Well, one of the things I have heard, William, is that Pope Benedict was very, very concerned about the corruption within the church. And basically, most people don't understand. I believe that the Roman Catholic Church has been infiltrated by dark and sinister forces. Certainly, many of the cardinals are Masons. And certainly, there's a list that was published in the Italian papers of 150 cardinals, bishops, archbishops, and prelates who are members of the P2 Masonic Lodge. Now, at one time, if you were a Mason, you would be excommunicated, and that hasn't happened. Certainly, there's a tie-in between the Vatican Bank and the Mafia, between the Vatican Bank and criminal syndicates. And it's said that there's all sorts of corruption at the highest level of the church. And I had heard that Pope Benedict had actually appointed 3 retired cardinals to investigate corruption in the church. They came up with something like a 3,000-page report, which nobody but Pope Benedict has seen. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. And the day Pope Benedict got that report is the exact same day he resigned. It was the same day.
And basically, of course, what the hope was, and I know that there are several factions in the Catholic Church, basically there is hope that certainly when they appointed a new pope, they would appoint men who would clean up the things. Of course, there's a large contingent that doesn't want to correct the problems in the Catholic Church. They want to continue the corruption, the homosexuality, the sexual deviancy, the pedophilia, the corruption which permeates the highest levels of the church and goes right into the Masonic P2 Lodge, which is a satanic organization. And then I think there are prelates there who wanted to correct the position. Have you heard that this is one of the...
Oh, yes. Now, I want to say there are whistleblowers and there are good Catholic priests and good Catholic cardinals. The problem is they are in such a small minority that they have no effective power. Many of them, like Father Malachi Martin, were basically driven out in disgust because they were powerless to change any of these things. And I say this as a baptized and confirmed Roman Catholic. There are good people, and one reason we know about all of these problems is that there are high-ranking whistleblowers in the Vatican who are bishops, archbishops, and cardinals who are pointing this out. Now, the problem is that report you mentioned that Saint Benedict the 16th got the day he resigned spoke about a homosexual cabal amongst the College of Cardinals, and they are very powerful, and they threaten to even lie about other cardinals. They say, if you expose us as gay, we will say you are part of our gay cabal. You're gay too. Now, when Saint Benedict resigned, Cardinal O'Brien of Scotland was getting ready to go to Rome to vote for the next pope, and 5 seminarians came out and said that Cardinal O'Brien had sexually accosted them over the years when they were studying for the priesthood. He was a homosexual himself, yet he would speak from the pulpit against homosexuality. So you have this twisted and perverted scenario of people like Cardinal O'Brien speaking from the pulpit against homosexuality and then practicing homosexuality secretly themselves. Now, Cardinal O'Brien, as I said, he had to resign from his position and not vote for the next pope because these men had come forward and exposed him as a homosexual. Now, of all those cardinals you saw lining up and taking the oath on all the cable networks, news networks, many of them are Freemasons and homosexuals. The vast majority of them probably are corrupt in one way or another. There are a few who are honest and good priests and true Christians, but as I say, they have no voice, and they're generally forced to be quiet because if they expose the others, they'll be lied about and be accused of being gay or corrupt. themselves.
Of course, it's my feeling that, of course, that the forces of evil, the forces of Satan, have intentionally permeated the highest levels of the Catholic Church to disillusion Catholics. And a lot of them, instead of leaving the Church and perhaps becoming Protestants, no, they just simply turn their back on Christianity. And this is a very, very clever technique. We're dealing with a spiritual war, ladies and gentlemen, and it's affecting every aspect of Christianity. We're not just picking on the Catholics tonight, but this is a very real tragedy unfolding before us.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try Propax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William, as a Catholic, suddenly was talking about the fact that the idea of a new pope, certainly being a Jesuit, frightens him. Why? Because the Jesuits are extremely liberal. They have embraced liberal theology, and basically they were responsible for pushing this whole idea of liberation theology, where you certainly meld and mold and join Marxism to Christianity and to create almost like a communist society. And basically, the liberals, the Jesuits, traditionally are extremely liberal, always want more power given to government. And of course, apparently, why the new Pope, as with many of the other Jesuits, believes in this new world order. Now, we started out talking about the new world order. That is Satan's plan. That is the basis of American foreign and domestic policy today. It is the major driving force behind all of the Brotherhood of Darkness we talk about. And now we have a Jesuit who believes in the world government. And the question is, why would they have picked him? I mean, certainly he was not well known. Certainly there are not an awful lot of Jesuits or cardinals, are there? How many Jesuit cardinals are there out there?
I believe there are only one other Jesuit cardinal, and they're normally not made cardinals. Occasionally they are, but generally they're not made cardinals. Pope Francis was made a cardinal by Pope John Paul II. So it's a very rare thing, and this is just a stunning historical move, and quite frankly, I see this as the fulfillment of the Jesuits' desire to completely take over the Vatican, which I said they really pressed for it after World War II, and they have finally succeeded. And when you look at all these prophecies, now I'm not saying Pope Francis will be the Antichrist, and neither is Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. What we are saying is that it's quite possible that he could, after some time, not right away, devolve into the false prophet we hear about in the book of Revelation, and the Antichrist himself will be some sort of world leader or world dictator who will take control of the world economy and world armed forces after a series of calamities and wars. And he will come as a positive force. And what he will say is, if you give me all the power, I will solve all these problems. And I will use the Pope to administer goods and services and aid to people who need it all over the world. This global figure with the Pope as his distributor will control the goods and services and means of production and how they're transferred and where they're transferred. And if you want to do any business at all, you will have to do it through them internationally.
And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that as Christians, we recognize the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But there is an unholy Trinity as well, and that is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And basically, you must understand that certainly the Holy Trinity and the anti-Holy Trinity are locked in an eternal battle. And certainly, if you're interested in the book Petrus Romanus by Tom Horn, we do carry it. It's very important, talking about the prophecies of the last pope. Now, basically, of course, the prophecies going back to Father Malachi. Now, this is St. Malachi back in the 1100s. But he said the name of the last pope, or did he say it would be Petrus Romanus? Or what was this about Petrus Romanus, and how does that tie into the last pope?
Well, Peter of Rome, technically, any pope holds the See of Peter. We Roman Catholics believe that St. Peter was our first pope and that he was executed in Rome by the Emperor Nero after the Christians were blamed for setting a fire for arson in Rome. And we believe he is our first pope. And the papacy, the pope's office, its technical name is the Petrine Office, the office of Peter. So any pope technically is Peter of Rome in the sense that he holds the throne of Peter, our first pope, by Catholic standards. Now, what's interesting is for the evangelicals out there, read the last two chapters of the book of Acts, and you'll see that who made Rome really important amongst Christians was not St. Peter, it was St. Paul. St. Paul was basically driven out of the Holy Land by angry Jews.
Hold that thought, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment or two. If you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You know what? I could be wrong, but I could be right.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is certainly William H. Kennedy, and William, of course, is certainly a conservative, a Catholic. And we just had Jeanette calling from Watsonville, who's a conservative Catholic. She's hoping and praying that this new pope is going to be truly conservative. And this is what she's heard on the broadcast today, that the Argentine government doesn't like him because he doesn't go along with their socialist programs. But remember, of course, the media is controlled. The media is totally controlled. They shape your views with things that just are not true. So we hope and pray that Jeanette is right, and we're just going to have to wait and see how this thing unfolds. William, why don't you go ahead and get your website out? Tell people how they can get to your website. Get the information that you posted there, your blogs that you posted as far as this is about the new pope is concerned, and Tom Horn's article. Go ahead.
Sure. It's WilliamHKennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com. I have the breaking news Tom Horn article on the election of Pope Francis and how Tom Horn concurs with me that this fulfills St. Malachy's prophecy. I also have a very important film people there should watch that was put out by the History Channel called The Secrets of the Vatican. It was an excellent documentary the History Channel put out, which gives an insider look at the Vatican and the history of the Vatican and how really important it really is. Now, in that documentary, they have the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican, the current one, who was appointed by Obama. His name slips my mind. But he says right in this documentary that as far as intelligence goes, the Vatican is the best listening post on earth. And people like the CIA and the KGB and the FBI love to exploit the Vatican, because you have to remember that the Catholic Church is, number one, the largest single organization on earth. It has 1.2 billion members, and just as importantly, it is the most globally expansive. It goes to more countries than the United Nations or the World Health Organizations. It's touched every tribal culture in the third world and every major world capital, and there is a free flow of information and finances straight to Rome. The old saying, all roads lead to Rome, is very true, and you can hear the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See say this in a History Channel documentary. Again, you can see it for free at williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com. Also consider buying Petrus Romanus by Tom Horn and Chris Putnam at radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com.
Well, I was just reading an interesting treatise. I was talking about John Paul I, Pope John Paul I, who had come to power, and that it was said that he wanted to, because this was certainly many years ago, but he had wanted to clean up the corruption in the hierarchy of the Vatican. And, of course, he announced that he was going to actually come out and get things straightened out. And 33 days later, he died. Most people believe he was killed, and I personally believe he was killed as well, because he wanted to clean things up. Certainly, we have the story by Father Malachi, Malachi Martin, and basically why, of course, he tells the story of how they had elected a different man for Pope to succeed Pope John Paul I. And this cardinal was on the way to the podium. He had been voted in. He was going to, accept the papacy, and somebody handed him a slip of paper. It said, if you accept the papacy, you and your entire family will be killed. Needless to say, he didn't accept that. Now, you can actually hear that story being told by Father Malachy in a four-tape set that we offer called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And Malachi, as they say, was a confidant of Pope John the 23rd, and had actually spent much of his life living in Rome, and finally just felt it was so corrupt there was no hope for it. Have you ever heard that story about the threat?
Oh, yes, that's called the Serious Thesis, that there was another pope who was elected and his life was threatened, and another pope came in. Now, what's interesting is that after Pope John Paul I, who was a good Christian, honest man, a true priest in the highest sense of the word.
He lasted 33 days. Go ahead.
33 days, and he was killed by Masons. And if people know the Masonic number 33, there's great symbolic significance to that. But it came out just after that. There's a wonderful book by David Yalop called In God's Name, which traces the murder of Pope John Paul I by segments of the Masonic P2 Lodge and the Sicilian Mafia, and how it ties into the banker Roberto Calvi, who was murdered in a Masonic ritual in London as part of this whole spill out. It's quite bizarre. The Crown Prince of Italy, Victor Emmanuel's grandson, who was their family was deposed after Mussolini lost power, he turned up on this list as a member of P2 and part of a secret government that was running everything, as were members of the Sicilian Mafia.
I think it's so important you mentioned Calvi. Basically, here was a man, the head of a bank, one of the leading people in Italy, and he ends up hanging from a bridge in London. with of course bricks in his trousers so that he hangs there, you know, with his feet just dangling above the Thames River. I mean, these people, their power reaches all over the world. These people are playing for keeps, and you cross them, they'll kill you. And there is no opportunity, very, very seldom are any of these people ever arrested, a few of them from the Mafia, tying into the P2 Lodge and the Vatican Bank, have been sent to prison, a couple of them here in the United States, as a matter of fact, convicted under our laws, but most of them get off scot-free because they're above the law.
Oh, sure, and you have to remember, Dr. Stan, the Vatican is not the headquarters of a religion only. It is also a sovereign nation that prints its own money and has its own bank and has its own police force, and the Pope is an absolute monarch who is answerable to no one on this planet. In fact, you can flee and take refuge in the Vatican, and no government on earth can arrest you if you remain on government property. So we're looking at, you know, if it falls into the wrong hands, an extremely corrupt organization. If it falls into the right hands, it can be a force for good, in the sense that Catholic charities do feed and help a lot of people. But if it's corrupted, it becomes automatically dangerous, in the same sense that if the United Nations were taken over by some sort of extreme fascist who was given ultimate power. Mm-hmm. Same sort of scenario. And as I say, I don't mean to scare or upset people, but just remember, like I said earlier, are you ready to die today and meet your maker? You have to answer that question yourself. Because if the Antichrist comes next week and you die today, that's not going to matter much to you. And anyone can die at any moment. You know, you can just drop dead of a heart attack or get struck by lightning or hit by a bus or what have you. People die every day. And that's the essential questions you must ask. And don't get too panicky about the end times. The end times you want to worry about is the end times of your own life and where your eternal soul is going. That should be your ultimate concern, as much as these other things are interesting. And I'm a news junkie myself, so I'm guilty of looking at this. But I take it from a very sane perspective and from a Christian perspective, so it doesn't eat me up emotionally. I say this because I get all kinds of emails from people who are very, very upset. Don't be. Get your own spiritual life in order, your own financial life in order, and enjoy your life and live your life, and certainly be aware of these higher forces that are coming into play, and guard yourself and your family against them as much as you possibly can. That's the best you can hope for.
Well said. Michael, calling us from Flint. Michael, do you have a question for our guest? Because we have Sydney, but do you have a question specifically?
Yes. Mr. Kennedy, I was wondering, you know, because the Catholic Church seems to be so corrupt, do you think it's possible that they may kill this Pope, or that there's another Pope really going to be running things and he's not going to be the real Pope? They're just saying that he's the real Pope.
No, I would say the fact that a Jesuit has become Pope means he's numero uno, top gun, head man, whatever you want to call him. The fact that it's a Jesuit would make that theory not too plausible in my reckoning.
And Michael, the Jesuits have been trying to take over the papacy for years. This is the first time a Jesuit has ever been elected Pope. So certainly you're not hearing this being discussed, but this has tremendous significance, especially at times like this. Anything else you'd like to ask us?
Yeah, well, just one thing comes to mind, you know, pulling the wool over the eyes, and that's what I believe is what's happening.
Okay, fine. God bless, and thanks very much. Let's go to Bruce calling from Durand, Michigan. Bruce, do you have a question or comment?
I have two, if there's time.
Just one question, please.
I wondered, is there significance to the fact that he was the number two choice back in 2005 when they chose Benedict?
Was he the number two choice at that time?
They don't know who the number two choice was. He was in the running, but people doubted that he would make it. Now, you got to remember, most of the cardinals who elected Benedict the 16th have either retired or are dead. This is a whole new batch of cardinals who went to this conclave, so you really can't compare the two conclaves in the way that you're saying.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Bruce. And you know, certainly as we see this whole story unfolding, we're living in, I think, extremely sensitive times. The whole world, I believe, is on the verge of chaos, certainly. There's going to be a war in the Near East or the Middle East. It's coming very soon. There may very well be a war over there. Certainly there's increasing friction between China and Japan. And certainly North Korea is threatening to attack South Korea and or the United States. And even though, of course, what could they do to the United States? Well, if they could get a couple of nuclear bombs on either the West Coast or the East Coast of the United States, even though they might destroy themselves, they could certainly totally disrupt the very structure of our nation. And of course, we're told in the prophecies that, of course, Babylon the Great, is the financial center of the world, is going to be destroyed. And firstly, the city is going to be destroyed by fire. And of course, the ship captains will look there and see the smoke coming up, the flames coming up from Babylon. But certainly the merchants of the world will weep because, of course, they will be unable at that time to sell their wares. So basically, America is the financial capital of the world. And I think we should be very, very concerned that we are moving into very difficult times. And certainly we don't know what part America is going to play in the end times. We do know, if you study the various scriptures about end times, America is not mentioned unless it is as Babylon. Do you have any thoughts on that at all, William?
Well, sure, Dr. Stan. And again, I just want to point out, you know, I'll repeat that passage. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." But you're right. We are facing some very difficult situations. Even if you're an atheist, just looking at the world situation with North Korea and the Middle East, we're looking at some hard times ahead. And what we want to do is prepare ourselves spiritually, of course, but also financially and supply-wise. You know, get yourself a year's supply of food for yourself and your loved ones, a year's supply of vitamin supplements, things of that nature. Preparedness and survivalism are certainly essential, and you want a comfortable life no matter what happens out there, and you want a good life even if things do start to fall apart, and that's certainly possible if you prepare. That is the key to it. Now, I'm telling people that one thing they can do is certainly get some of their savings and disposable income into gold and silver that you can that you personally hold and have yourself. Midas Resources is a very good company, and I just want to say I'm not a paid spokesman for them, and I don't individually do business with them, but I have checked them out, and I feel comfortable endorsing them. And also, there are some products at RadioLiberty.com you might want to look at concerning preparedness, because no matter what happens, you want a good and comfortable life for yourselves and your family and loved ones, and even your neighbors and church and society, which you can do if you plan ahead. But if you fail to plan, you plan to fail in whatever you do in life. And that's really the message I'd like to get out to people tonight.
All right, fine. Well, we've got certainly John calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi. William, I've got a quick question for you. Today is 3/13/13. Any significance on a pope being elected on 3/13/13?
I did notice that, and I got a good chuckle out of it, and I know the numerologists and astrologers will all be going crazy. I don't put a lot of merit into numerology myself, but it did make me chuckle a bit and made me pause for thought, but I wouldn't put a lot of weight on it. You know, I thought, we had 666 a few years back and all these things. I wouldn't put too much stock in it, though.
It is interesting, John. Hey, thanks so very much for your call.
Oh, Dr. Stan?
Yep.
On that, I don't put any stock in it, and I don't think any of us put stock in it. But isn't it true that the Catholics do?
I don't think don't necessarily think so. I don't think most of them do. Okay. And certainly it's got Ron calling us from Wisconsin. Hi, Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Maybe you covered this earlier, but I've heard that there's a Jesuit who's called the Black Pope who makes a lot of decisions about things.
The Black Pope is the head of the Jesuit order. Isn't that right, William?
Yes, he's called the Black Pope because he wears black. And similar to the Pope of Rome, he is elected for life. So that's the media nicknamed him the Black Pope.
And basically, Malachi Martin wrote a book about the Jesuits. And certainly you can get that at Amazon. It's simply The Jesuits by Malachi Martin. You'll find it fascinating reading. And it really gives you an idea, of course.
Who is the Black Pope right now?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Do you know who the head of the Jesuits is, William?
Geez, the name just slipped my mind. Let me just think. It just slipped my mind at the moment.
Okay, I'm afraid you're out of luck. If it comes up, we'll let you know. Okay, Ron. God bless, and let's go to Jeff calling from Lansing. Jeff, do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do. Wondering, you mentioned a couple times being spiritually ready and ready to die at any time. The only way we can really do that is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins.
You're absolutely right. Hold that thought.
Okay, thank you.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try ProPax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Over Ben Zeger, what you've got, and it's not because of the Jews, it's because of the Gentiles at the Australian Broadcasting Corporation who opened this, and now the Australian government, Well, they want an answer. It's a citizen of theirs died in an Israeli prison. They want to know why.
Well, now, aren't there a lot of Jews, though, in Israel who are concerned about this?
It's being buried, as it always is. The big issue, the Australian government wants Israel to give an answer. And they're demanding an answer. One of their citizens died in an Israeli prison. They want an answer or two. Now, let's go backwards to February 15th. Paris opened up, it was a case of negligence to the state prosecutor against a couple of the guards at Ayalon Prison and the rabbi of Ayalon Prison. Their negligence caused the death of Ben Ziegler, apparently, according to this suit against them. Now, Daisy, and by the way, I get to know Daisy, and I've got to know Daisy. When she's right on target, she is a visionary. But she does tend, she does tend to jump at things that are not right on target. This time she had it. And what she said, she doesn't understand why Paris would do that. Look, all you have, if you want to keep a gag order on something, you're just better off keeping quiet. And by the way, the Israeli government put a gag order on all the Israeli newspapers, not to mention Ben Ziegler. This, at the same time as the Australian Broadcasting Corporation was broadcasting the truth, it was a mess. The Israeli, well, needless to say, they did something wrong, and they're trying to cover it up. But I'm going to give you a quote from someone named Richard Silverstein. Now, look, he's been on my writing list for years, but I don't really like his point of view on anything. I mean, it's really a very far left-wing point of view. And what we're talking about, you got Daisy, certainly from the right, and you got Richard from the left, but they both want the same truth, no matter what the motive, all right? And Richard does have a motive different than Daisy's. Daisy doesn't want to see the Jewish people being led possibly into another Holocaust. She has her reasoning, and they're better than Silverstein's, but they won't both want the same truth. This is quoting Silverstein. Quote, blaming the prison service would be a classic stratagem for blaming low men on the totem pole, so you don't have to place blame at the feet of the powerful men who really brought about his death, the directors of the Shabak. Now, the Shabak is the internal security apparatus of Israel. They and Shimon Peres murdered Rabin. The head of the Shabak then was Carmi Gilon. You know, I'm going off track, but I'm going to do it for a second. I confronted Carmi Gilon after he had murdered Rabin. I knew what was going on, so I'm really fast. And they knew that I knew. He gave a lecture sponsored by the Jerusalem Post on a so-called new diplomatic knowledge. He was the ambassador to Denmark. They got him out of Israel. I went there. Now, the first thing is I waited for him to come in the door, and he walked in, and I stared at him, and he did not want to stare at me. The crowd was mostly right-wingers. They asked the stupidest questions of this person, the dumbest, unspeakable. And David Horowitz, he was the editor of the Post at the time, who knew me and knew that he didn't want me to say anything. I just said, this was after, let's say, half an hour. I said, Gilon, who murdered Rabin? And he was stunned. I'm talking about not a word came out of him. And I said, Gilon, you know the answer. Who murdered Yitzhak Rabin? He stood up and walked out. And I screamed at him, "You're going to be investigated, Guillon." After half an hour and one question from me, he was gone. He and Shimon Peres were the top of the murder conspiracy against Yitzhak Rabin, and my book has proven it, and nobody has proven me wrong. By the way, the book is Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Go get it on lulu.com. That's lulu.com. Write in my name, Chamer, Chamish. Get the black and white one. There's a very expensive color one that's no better and a lot more expensive. That answers the big one. Why did Paris do this business with the state prosecutor so that the Shabak would, the rightful killers of Ben Ziegler, wouldn't be blamed? And, well, Silverstein answered that. Now, you have to understand, the next section is shocking. Something new came out. Now, this was after Daisy and my interview, which, by the way, went very well, as did my article on Ben Ziegler. It was way ahead of anything else at the time. But now we've got real information. And what a mess, what a mess Israel is in. Australia demanded an Israeli investigation. Israel gave, well, it was a 38-page court investigation done 6 months previously on the Ziegler, on his demise. It was an investigation. They called it suicide. The judge didn't believe it. Now, this judge is under gag order. Of the 38 pages, Israel released 18 to the Australians. But what's inside these 18? I mean, what is in the other 20 if this is the good stuff? What this judge, it was a woman, by the way, in her report, Ben Ziegler had tranquilizer found in his blood. Now, come on, he's a security prisoner under gag order. He didn't have his own stock of tranquilizers. Someone gave it to him. But even worse, he was bruised from head to toe. Now, the judge...
Basically, what you're suggesting is he was badly beaten before they killed him.
Yes. I'm not suggesting. All right, he didn't do it to himself. All right? It's pretty hard to bruise yourself. Yeah. Now, what the judge finds is that the tranquilizers or the bruises, didn't matter, didn't contribute to his death. What is she, nuts? They may not have been directly a cause of death, but they fit. All right? It was part of a process. Now, the really spooky part is the Arab, the Hamas guy, who was killed in Dubai, that, again, the Australians suggested Ziegler was responsible for blowing the operation. That's Mahmoud al-Mahbouk. He was murdered very similarly. He was given a tranquilizer and then smothered with a pillow. All right? That, to me, is a teensy-weensy bit uncanny, but I'm going to read from the judge's report, directly from the judge. Follow this. Though the deceased was found hanged in the bathroom of the cell, this does not negate the theoretical possibility of active intervention on the part of another person who intentionally caused his death in this way. Am I misreading that, or did she say that he was murdered?
Well, that he may have been murdered. Go ahead.
No, I think she said that she has no doubt about it.
All right, go ahead.
All right. It doesn't negate the theoretical possibility. She wouldn't say it if she didn't know this guy was killed. All right? Now, look, do we have much time?
We'll be back in just a moment here. Our guest, of course, is Barry Sammis. And he's talking about this this murder and this Australian Jewish fellow in an Israeli jail. And now, of course, the Australian government wants to know why he was murdered. Go right ahead, Barry.
All righty. Now, the judge, for whatever reason, I think handled an honest inquiry. Again, what are the 20 pages under gag order? Now, the first thing is, the judge doesn't go into how Zeger got a tranquilizer. I would assume the answer is in the 20 gag order pages. Now, obviously, he didn't have his own tranquilizers. All right. And you don't have to be a big genius. What are you going to do? Fight the other side of the issue that he had his own tranquilizers and put himself under and then bruised himself? What caused the bruises? Was it another person? Could it have been an instrument? Look, all of this required a forensic pathologist who went into the cell and answered these questions. All right. The judge, well, this is just a major contradiction. Here is where the mess starts. The judge writes in her report that no one could have entered Zeger's cell to kill him because there were no entrances not covered by surveillance. That's what the Australians concluded as well. Nonetheless, the Israelis said, no, we were very negligent, and we ignored the cell, and that allowed the suicide. Now, obviously, someone is lying, and again, you don't have to be a genius to figure out if it's the Israeli authorities. What happened? Now, before we dive into other reports, here is what happened. The night before Ben Zeger's demise, suicide or murder, I'll say murder, it doesn't matter, he was visited by an attorney, Avigdor Feldman, who I also knew somewhat. He's also from the left. He offered Ben Zeger a plea bargain. Yediot Ahronot, the newspaper, said if he confessed, he would get 10 to 20 years. And, well, he didn't want that. He refused it. He turned it down. He told Feldman that he was being accused of crimes he didn't commit, and he wanted a trial. Now, listen, a trial is hard to gag, and a lot of things come out of the trial. And that's the last thing the authorities wanted, was an open trial of Ben Zeger. They expected him to take the plea bargain. Well, what Feldman said is he was entirely rational. He wasn't crazy. He felt that he was getting stiffed, and he wanted his day in court. That's what Feldman said. The next day, well, Ben Zeger, according to the Israelis, killed himself. And according to the Australians and anyone half rational, didn't. He was beaten to death. Look, the big question is, are they nuts? Australia is it's a community with resources. It's an ally. Now, Zeger, we know what he
Hold did. That thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry went into the report. It was released to the Australians, who demanded an investigation. Well, there was a 38-page report, and they released 18 pages. They've kept 20 pages. They will not release them. But in the 18 pages, why we found that this man had, first of all, tranquilizers in his system. How would somebody in a prison cell get tranquilizers in their system? Number two, of course, he was bruised from top to bottom. His whole body was bruised. Obviously, he was beaten and then hung. But, of course, they can't come out and say that. Now, We do know that the day before his demise, Hoy had been visited by a lawyer who had offered him a plea bargain, 10 to 20 years, and certainly, but Ben turned that down. He said that he wasn't guilty. He wanted his day in court. The Israelis could not give him a day in court because if they gave him a day in court, there was an open court. It would come out that the Mossad had gone into Dubai and murdered somebody there. And suddenly, the last thing that they would want would be the public exposure, the fact that the Mossad Well, anyway, certainly, I don't think that they want the public to know the Mossad goes around murdering people, even though they do. But go right ahead.
I think it gets even wider and deeper than that, and I'm going to get there. We're heading that way. Now, look, the fact is that Zeger ran a cell in Milan, Italy, with two other Australians, and we're going to talk about that operation. Part of it was to get Australian passports, and of the 10-man hit team, apparently half had Australian passports. But that's in my previous little talk. I'm not going to dive into that. But that side of things, I'm not saying, I'm not going to negate it, but something else came up. Now, look, I'm quoting Richard Silverstein now. And I, you know what? I don't care if he's a leftist. I think he's a reliable researcher. His point of view sucks, but nonetheless, he quotes Israeli reports. Prison service eyewitnesses noted that unnamed plainclothes security agents swarmed Zeger's cell immediately after his death. Well, he's concluding that they were coordinating their stories for the upcoming investigations, which, by the way, is not a bad conclusion. As a matter of fact, I'll bet he's right. But you still have the report that the state urged the judge to close her file without any criminal or negligence finding on any official party. And here's where it gets interesting. Zeger's family was involved. Now, we've been asking the big question, why haven't they opened their mouth? And by the way, the Zeger family did get hush money. The Knesset offered them $1 million shekels, $250,000 bucks, a couple of weeks ago. So they are getting hush money for this, but they were involved from, well, they were involved with the judge and her investigation. Quote, Zeger's family objected and complained that doing so would preclude assigning blame to any official party. Now, we don't know what's going on with the Zegers. Their son was murdered. And I'm going to say the obvious thing. If you're an Australian and you were raised with labor Zionism and then you fly to Israel and you join a kibbutz and then next thing you know you're in the Mossad, that's kind of a dream of the Zionist leaders, the labor Zionist leaders. Anyways, it is not their dream. They put their son into an Israeli governmental bureau to have him murdered by them. That is not the Jewish dream, and it's certainly not the Australian Jewish dream, and the Australian media is not letting go. Now, let's go into that little deeper side that we should talk about. Now, I brought this up in my article, and I said that Zeger had I hear the music.
Go right ahead. I will tell you what. Just go right ahead for a moment or two.
Well, Zeger ran with two other Australian Israelis, a front company in Milan, Italy, whose purpose was to sell computer gear to Iran. Now, I didn't ignore that. I wrote that, but I didn't take it far enough. And I think that has more to do with the murder than Dubai.
In other words, he was actually involved with the sale of computers to Iran?
Well, computer equipment.
Computer equipment to Iran. Well, we'll get more into that. And as soon as we get back, our guest, of course, Barry Shamish, we're talking about this this murder in a Jewish prison.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the ocean white with gold. God bless America, my home sweet home.
This is Dr. Stan, our guest is Barry Shamish, and there's a new twist to this that we hadn't heard of before, something about computer parts, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. Barry, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your blog, and how they get your PayPal button.
All righty. Now, my books, all but one, are at lulu.com, that's www.lulu.com. You'll see a search box. Just write in my name, Shamish, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, but one book isn't with the rest, and Tom, my webmaster, went in for an operation. I'm complaining about the pain I feel. I did go into an operation. What can I tell you? Mine is minor, and in short, I can't get him to move anything until he's recovered. There. That being said, you have to get my new book, The Stinger, Not the Stung, separately. You have to write the search box, Shamish, and then The Stinger, Not the Stung. It's only 2.5 months old. It's my new book, and reaction has been very good to it. That simple. My website is BarryShamish.com. Now let's go back to this By the way, I did write this, and in our very first interview, I glossed over it that Zeger and two other Australians had a front company in Milan that sold computer gear to in Milan. They sold computer gear to Iran. Now look, I went for the passport side. I think it was the Iranian side that might have got them killed. Now, in other interviews, well, here's a quote from Richard Silverstein. So if this is wrong, blame him. But so far, the reporting has been pretty good. Quote, he and his two Australian-Israeli agents made multiple trips to Iran for these trade missions. Now he speculates, was this part of the Mossad's efforts to sabotage Iran's nuclear program? The only problem is he's not the only one speculating. I did another radio show today before this one. Guy says Stuxnet. He was the guy who was supplying the computer gear. He probably put in the virus. That's just really good speculation. And leave it at that because we don't know all the answers. But the suspicions, look, this guy was killed and it had to have been a good reason. I strongly suspect it may have had something to do with Iran. All right, I'm going to leave it at there. But look, you have to understand Netanyahu is being real brave, and he's threatening to hit Iran before they go nuclear. Look, it's an unwritten understanding that the second that Israel hits Iran, Hezbollah hits Israel with 50,000 missiles. This is not free of charge. This is not something Israel can do. Now, I'm going to explain something, and what's going on in Israel is, I'm gonna take you up to date, alright? Alright? The real problem is the corruption. Zeger is bad because he was someone who got noticed, and it got, after 3 years under gag order, it got out somehow. But there's something very strange. He had a daughter born 4 days before he so-called killed himself. He was in prison for 10 months. It couldn't have been his daughter. Now, they've covered up the wife's face. As I said before, she looks like a lovely woman, beautiful body. You can't see her face. Look, if you were an Israeli journalist, you just go to the phone book and you can find Zeger and his address and his wife. Somehow that's been totally gagged up. What this child was, I have no idea. All right? I really can't answer you. But this mystery, just one for the books, all right? Keep that in mind for later on. Now, what's going on in Israel, this is, look, folks, Ehud Olmert, he was the prime minister of Israel. Corruption is his middle name. There, next to Paris, he is the most corrupt creep you ever saw. Now, I've done this, well, the big one. He was supposed to go to prison he was a Likud accountant and did all kinds of stealing. But someone named Menachem Atzmon took the rap and all the blame for Olmert. Olmert didn't go to prison. And when Menachem Atzmon was released 3.5 years later, suddenly he was given two firms, a security firm that looked over the security of Newark Airport and Logan Airport in Boston. Just as 9/11 occurred, it couldn't have happened without Menachem Atzmon. It couldn't have happened without Olmert arranging this job. I'm talking real, real corruption. All right? Now, he is on trial. And, well, it looks like he's home free. Now, he was supposed to be on trial last week. There was a witness who was going to be testifying against him for a week. The first day, Olmert's lawyer basically kept him confronted until he burst out and says, "You're talking to me like I'm a piece of trash." And he went crazy. But that night, my goodness, he died. Yes, sirree, and the sole witness against Olmert in this latest, listen, it was a real estate scam. Leave it at that. Well, he just happened to die before he could give testimony against Ehud Olmert. Now, look, he wasn't a young man, but big deal. I don't like the timing one little bit either than a lot of other people. You have to understand the mess. Olmert is, he was prime minister. That he got by having Sharon sign a document that he would be taking over as prime minister while he went into the hospital for a brief check the next morning. Well, Sharon, Olmert was the last person Sharon saw. He signed the agreement, and then Sharon had his adventure that left him as good as dead. But Olmert became prime minister over that little piece of paper. That's how he became prime minister, and Shimon Peres was second in command. What's going on in the country is horrible, horrible. Now, the big thing is the left love Olmert. All right? I'm not going to go through why, but know that. Now, he apparently is going to be acquitted because Olmert is very close friends with Yesh Atid leader Yair Lapid. He won the second most seats in the Knesset. And in fact, if he and Naftali Bennett form a party, they have more seats than Netanyahu. Netanyahu cannot form a government partly because he's not allowed to have a right-wing government. And this I wrote, and people have been writing me back and just saying that I'm prophetic. How do I know it? Real tough to know. That's what's going on. Netanyahu will probably not form a government. But there's this weird possibility that Peres could appoint Yair Lapid to try. He's got more seats than Netanyahu, and Olmert is a close friend of Yair Lapid. And Yair Lapid, I saw him on TV. I get Israeli TV in my house. I saw him saying that if acquitted, and it looks like he is or will be, he will come back into politics through our party, Yesh Atid. There is a future. You don't understand, people, how deep this corruption is. And it makes me so upset that, let's put it this way, Yair Lapid is no different than the rest. The Israelis who voted for him for a change are going to get the same old story. And what can we say? Netanyahu can't form a government. Everyone thought he was going to win big and be more powerful. In fact, he lost big and is a lot weaker. And he won't be able to put together a coalition. Now, that's a promise, by the way. But here is what's coming up. Obama is coming to Israel even though there's no government. Now, why would he want, what purpose would it be to come to Israel if there's no one to talk to? But what we have from American sources, and this is all over the place, it's not me. He's going to lay the law down to Netanyahu, and that Netanyahu would be given an immediate U.S. initiative to establish a Palestinian state in the West Bank in the year 2014, and he's got to get the Jews out of there. Now, look, the fact is they're saying things that are lies. Obama has stressed that Congress supports the establishment of a Palestinian state as a U.S. priority. This is very, very frightening stuff. He is coming to Israel, coming up. He is going to lay the law down to Netanyahu. He's already announced he won't go to Ariel University because it's on the West Bank. That's from a U.S. president. But more to the point, he's going to tell Netanyahu, put together any kind of a government and get out of the West Bank. That is going to be the end. The end of what, well, it's going to be ultimately the end of Israel. All right? I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, fine. And basically what you're talking about is he's going to pull out of Judea and Samaria. And certainly that there are large Jewish settlements there. And certainly this will cause a tremendous amount of unrest in Israel. Certainly is the pulling out of Gaza, forcing the Jewish settlers in Gaza. Really
oh,
out of,
I don't bayonets. Know.
Go ahead.
I had a long conversation tonight with my good friend. She wrote a book called Banished. Her name is Aliza Batanachem. She wrote about, just like me, my book was Bye-Bye Gaza. By the way, it's at lulu.com, and it's really a pretty darn good. I went to the Gaza Strip week after week after week. I watched the whole process. I was there, folks. Her book is very heartfelt, but it's a woman's book. Nonetheless, it's about a family that's pulled out of their home in the Gaza Strip and left homeless. Let's put it this way. She went to a conference yesterday in New York, and she said there are all kinds of Jewish hotshots. And by the way, this discourages me in ways you have no idea. All right. But nonetheless, Ehud Olmert was speaking, and she said that everyone else was given 15 minutes. They couldn't pull Olmert off the stage. She said he was flapping his arms after 45 minutes. All the other speakers were getting very, very antsy. She said, not only is he free. Look, they let him leave the country. I guess he's free. The fact of the matter is he's nuts. All right? And this is something I've been trying to tell people. Your leaders, they are really not you. You have to understand the system went bad. You have to fix it in a hurry. Well, that's my message, and I think it's a clean one.
Here's a man who is being tried and certainly the major witness against him suddenly dies after one day on the stand, and now Olmert's allowed to travel to the United States?
Yep. Look, what's going on, it scares me. This is between us. I have family, children. I don't know why I moved to Israel. I had beliefs, whatever. This is personal. What you got, forget the Sinai, it's gone. The so-called peace with Egypt is gone. You'd have to be nuts to go into the Sinai. It's filled with murderers. It's gone. No more peace treaty. Giving away the Sinai for what? For nothing. That's to Israel's west. To the north, Syria is shooting missiles down on the Israeli side of the Golan Heights. Five on March 2nd. Then they kidnap a bunch of you. And in short, Israel's being drawn into a very, very serious war in Syria. If Israel touches Iran, Hezbollah is going to smash tens of thousands of missiles down on Israel. The only thing left is Jordan. And by the way, here's a prediction. It's doomed. All right. So far, Israel still has maintained a peace treaty with Jordan, like anyone's going there. But all of this over, the entire peace process is 90% over. Okay, as simple as that, it's all been for nothing.
So what you're really saying is that there's tremendous instability over there, that Jordan probably will be falling in the not-too-distant future. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
All right, fine. And certainly then to Syria, it's only a matter of time before the terrorists take over in Syria. Because the big question is, what about the chemical weapons there? And certainly,
Hezbollah's already got them, and there's no difference. They've already got them.
And basically, of course, Israel is in the greatest peril, I think, that it's been in since it was formed in 1948. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's very shamish. And ladies and gentlemen, without God's intervention, I see there's no hope for Israel. But I do believe that God is going to protect Israel in one way or another. I think we're probably going to see some amazing things happen in the near future. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program with Barry Shamish. Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Yeah, I'm going to plug myself again. This new book of mine, The Stinger, Not the Stung, really should be read. And it's only $24 at lulu.com.
And it's really very good. I read it, and it's really the information in there on the ringworm children, the Yemeni children. Very important information source of. Go ahead.
I don't know how I got started on this, but I did. Now I'm just trying to stay alive. Right now I'm just trying to save my foot. I'm in such agony. You know, really, every day of my life, we hope the bills are paid, but I just keep putting out these books. If I was rich, I guess I wouldn't. But it's at lulu.com, www.lulu.com, The Stinger, Not the Stung, Chamish, Chamish. The other books, just write in Barry Chamish, and you'll get to all the other books. And Tom Mack, I understand, just came out of surgery, and I should be complaining about my problems. I think I'm being a sissy. All right. He is handling the website. He may not for a week or two until he recovers, but it's Barry Chamish. .com. There I plug myself.
Okay, Barry. Well, thank you so very much, and we'll look forward maybe to talking to you next week, okay?
I'll look forward to it as well.
Good night. And let me know what the doctor says when he sees your foot. This is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I have to remind you once again that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or certainly subscribe to the newsletter, get the items we have, we'll appreciate it, and if you're not in a position to do that, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. We will announce, for the next 3 nights, tonight and the next 2 nights, This will be the last week we will be offering a case of my books, Brotherhood of Darkness, and certainly they are available. You get 64 copies for a suggested gift of $149.95 plus shipping. And we'll actually throw in a 4-CD set or a DVD if you request it to help cover the cost of the shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and the book will help you to reach others to understand really the spiritual nature of what's going on today. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way Israel can survive logically. Hezbollah has 50 to 100,000 missiles. She may very well have some of the chemical weapons. Why, of course, is certainly we're seeing as the Syrian situation simply beginning to fall apart. Jordan's on the basis of collapse. What you're not hearing about, of course, is that there are very real problems in Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia will probably have fallen in the next couple of years. And certainly Egypt is preparing for war. All the countries there are preparing for war with Israel. So what's going to happen? Well, I think you're going to see some amazing, amazing things happening. How this will impact on America, I don't know. But I do believe that this next year or two are going to be some of the most exciting times of your life. And we'll be here trying to keep you abreast of what's going on, getting Barry's point of view. But Barry's not looking at this with the idea that God's going to intervene. And I know that God's going to intervene in one way or another, because the children of Israel will return to the Holy Land after almost 2,000 years. For a purpose, and I believe we're living in prophetic times. And of course, you'll begin to understand that if you get my book and you read my book, you'll begin to see how much of this comes together. And we've got some other great programs coming on dealing with prophecy, but my book simply helps you to understand the spiritual nature of what's going on. So if you'd like to get a case of books, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope you want to get my talks on the Agenda 21, the covert plan, population control, the covert agenda, the New World Order, that, of course, goes into how we brought Fidel Castro to power, the Desperate Deception, that's my interview with Norman Dodd, who was led the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations, and what did they find the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundations were doing? They were financing communism and socialism. And they are today, of course, they've taken over our educational system, our universities, and that's why the universities are all so liberal. And, of course, if you are a conservative professor and you don't have tenure, why, you'll never get tenure. And if you do have tenure, you'll never get a promotion. Why? Because the great tax-exempt foundations, with billions of dollars at their disposal, are using them to destroy the freedom here in America and bring us into a socialist or Marxist society. This is what the plan is, but you're never going to be told that. Well, anyway, my talk on the Desperate Deception, you'll actually see my interview with Norman Dodd. And then, of course, we have so many other CDs. We have my talk on sustainable development. We have certainly an excellent talk by Michael Shaw, Agenda 21, The Wretched Transformation of America. We have certainly the DVDs with Sidney Roslin Peterson on geoengineering, with Benny Martini on aspartame. We've got 4-CD sets on so many things. We've got the 4-CD set on certainly the deadly assassins. You'll hear me talking my interviews with a couple of CIA assassins. One's dead, the other's disappeared. And then, of course, the other interviews are with the gentleman who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General Patton. We carry the book Target Patton. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they kill our military leaders who don't go along with the agenda. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. From the mountains.
ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You're in the right place. What a winning team the Power Hour is. I'm so proud of all of you. It is 13 March 2013. It is Wednesday, and you all made it happen. You made it happen. I'm so proud of all of you. You know, the people are going to take back their government. The people are going to say, not no, but heck no. And the way they're going to do it is they're going to do it themselves by doing it right, doing it in the next right and honorable fashion. And I do honor each and every one of you that supported us yesterday. If you know what I'm talking about, you listened to the program yesterday. It's all about what's happening in the Gulf now and over Corn Bayou. Hydrogen sulfide gas over Corn Bayou and oil leaking from the old Macondo well from the site of the explosion that occurred a couple of years ago by BP. Well, guess what? They're not telling you about it because they don't want you to know about it because it's back again. And the trial is